In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Normally, when we think of Christmas and the birth of Jesus, we think of a very happy and joyful time. And that, of course, is how the Gospel of Luke presents the birth of Christ, a time in which there is a great deal of joy. But when we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, there is also sadness. We find that after the wise men had departed, and after Joseph has been warned in a dream to go to Egypt with his family, then Herod sends his men that these young boys in Bethlehem, under 2 years old, would be killed. And we can imagine something of the horror and terror of those women when these men came for their children. Today I'd like us, first of all, to remind ourselves as to how evil entered into the world and God's solution. And then secondly, we're going to ask ourselves, now, what could we say to one of those women who have had this terrible thing happen to them? Are there any Bible truths which are relevant and helpful to them? So let us take the first point, a reminder as to how evil entered into the world and what God has done about it. When we turn to Genesis chapter 1, we find there the world is created and it is described as being very good. And we come to Genesis chapter 2 and we find the first man and the first woman there in a garden, and there is a tree of good and evil which they are not to eat. But I'm sure you're familiar with the story. We find the serpent comes, which many people believe represents the devil. And he deceives the woman, so she eats of the fruit of the tree, and then she persuades the man also to eat of this fruit. And we find then that they are excluded from the garden. And not only that, we find that death enters into the world. But it probably was not until they came to chapter 4, in our Bibles anyway, where we find that their sons, Cain and Abel, how one of these sons killed the other out of jealousy. And then it would have come home to them, something of the evilness and the harm that ultimately comes from sin. So when we turn to Matthew chapter 2, we find that there is a sense of evilness with these actions of Herod killing these young children. And we may well wonder, what has God possibly done about this? Well, I'm sure we're familiar with the passages. But as we look through the scripture, we find that clearly there is a plan. God has a plan for dealing with sin and evil. Do you remember when the wise men came into Jerusalem? They were looking for the King of the Jews. And so we find that Herod consults with the scribes and with the chief priests. And they remind him that the prophet Micah had foretold that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And of course, Micah was an 8th century BC prophet. So all those hundreds of years before, God had already planned for Christ to be born in Bethlehem. And then as we look at the life of Christ, especially through the Gospel of Matthew, we find that clearly he understands that he is going to suffer and to die and to be resurrected. And not only that, if we look at chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, he understands also that he is going to return again. But for what purpose? When we turn to Matthew 1, we find that he's called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And a passage which we find very familiar in chapter 26 is that when he took the cup, He says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So clearly, Jesus understood that he was there in order that men and women may be forgiven of their sins. He understood that through his death, that forgiveness of sins would come. And certainly as we look at the whole of the scripture, we also understand that through his return, that the world should be restored, would be restored as it should be. And of course, these are very familiar truths to us. But it's good for us to remind ourselves as we come out of the old year and come into the new year, this is what we believe, and this is what the church will be proclaiming in the coming year, that there is, to a world that is affected by evil and sin, there is an answer. Jesus Christ, we look for salvation through Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, and ultimately from his return, that the total restoration of the world. So we can ask ourselves, do we agree, do we believe in this gospel, and are we at one with the church as it proclaims this important message? But secondly, let us also ask ourselves, well, what could we say to such a person who has been affected by such terrors and evil? Of course, in reality, if we were to meet one of these women who have had their children taken away, we may not say anything at all. We would just listen, perhaps, to their story and to what has happened and their grief. But nonetheless, it is good for us to think about what type of answers, what type of passages could we present from the scriptures. Just think for a moment how this woman would feel. She would have no sense of justice. All this has happened, and there is nothing she can do about it. There is no way that King Herod can be punished. What would she be thinking? And what does the Bible say? Well, when we look at the scriptures, we find that King Herod would have to face judgment, wouldn't he? We know that men are to die and then to face the living God. And then they will have to give an account. So Herod would have to stand in front of God and face him and the consequences of his evil deeds. But if vengeance is in the hand of the Lord, as we read in Scripture, doesn't that also mean that it's not for us to seek revenge, not for us to fill ourselves with hate and to try and work out how to get our own back? And certainly that is something which we would emphasize to a woman who's been affected, that we seek to overcome evil by good, as we find in Romans 12. But this woman, if she's been affected by such things, surely she'd be very puzzled as to why her. Why has it happened to her and not to other people? Other people live in another place. They may not be affected or would not be affected, but she's been affected. It's her child that has been taken away. And to such a situation, surely we could remind her that God is good, that he is in control, that his purposes are good. And even if we cannot understand it, as believers, we believe that even if we cannot see any good that can come out of it, we believe that God is good and his purposes are good and he will bring good from this. But also, if we think about it, this woman should be reflecting and thinking about these events again and again and again. Quite possibly her sleep would be affected as she thinks about the terror, the horror that has happened. Is there any passage in Scripture which would be helpful for her? I was thinking about this, but one passage that occurred to me was Psalm 42. There the psalmist is struggling with his life. And what we find is that the psalmist speaks to himself and reminds himself of who God is and his blessings, that God is his God and his Saviour. And he remembers what God has done for him and God has done in the past. And certainly we could encourage that lady who has been affected by such terror and encourage her to refuse to think those thoughts if they're not helpful, if they don't help her with the grieving process anymore, but rather to think of the blessings of God and God himself. But she may reply and say, I've done that, and it makes absolutely no difference to me whatsoever. I feel just as numb as I did before. And that was the experience of the psalmist. It seemed to make no difference to him in Psalm 42 at all. But he says, yet I shall praise him. He believes that as he thinks and believes and remembers what God has done, he will come, and as he brings praise to God intellectually, as it were, by with faith, that ultimately he will, in his whole body, in his whole emotions, once again want to praise God in the way that he used to do, in the fullest sense of the word. But it's easy, in one sense, to apply scripture to someone else. It's far harder, isn't it, to apply it to our own lives. Many of us may have experienced evil, and some, because we do not know where people have come from and what their experiences are, may even have experienced evil as bad as that of as King Herod. But we too can apply the scriptures to our lives. We can remind ourselves when there seems to be no justice, that God is just, and that people who may have hurt us, will one day have to face the living God. But we can also remember that we're not to fill ourselves, if vengeance is with the Lord, we're not to fill ourselves with hate, but rather with love, to seek to overcome evil with good. And when we cannot make sense of what's happened around us, we can remind ourselves that God is good, and his purposes are good, and he's in control. And he'll bring good, even if it makes no sense to us how he possibly can. And also when we remember events which keep on coming back to our mind and are not helpful, we too, like the psalmist in Psalm 42, can refuse to think these things, but rather think of what God has done for us and who he is. And when it seems to make no difference, we can remember that our faith should come before our feelings, that yet we shall praise him, that there will come a time when we go through this difficult period, when we will want to praise God in the fullest sense of the word. We've looked over this passage. We've reminded ourselves as to how evil has entered into the world and God's solution. And we've also thought about how we can apply the scriptures to when we experience evil. So as we leave this old year and come into the new year, let us hold fast and believe in this gospel, and let us also apply it to our lives. May the Lord bless this word to your hearts.